Tonight, I want to talk to you about confusion. The first thing, perhaps, which you should understand thoroughly is the differentiation between Technique 80 and Technique 88. Now, it's an odd thing, but these definitions apply very, very closely to clarifying the process. The process becomes clear the moment that this becomes clear to you. 88 is processing the theta body. Processing the theta body. And actually, anything that pertains to processing the theta body can be lumped into Technique 88. Technique 80 is a method, an application, which can be applied to, one, messed bodies, two, one lifetime, three, some segment of the whole track, or four, which can be applied to the whole track. When I say segment of the whole track, I mean that you can take and specialize with Technique 80 on addressing the genetic line of the messed body only. You can take Technique 80 and apply it only to the genetic line. It takes a person from, you might say, photon, helper, sloth, Piltdown, New Yorker. You can take this line and you can use Technique 80 on this line. You'll find each time as you run this line that there are motivators and overts making an overt act situation or a dead situation. You can do that just to that. You can take somebody and process only space opera. The 2 or 10 million years somebody spent in space. Spaceships, invader forces, fought people. Fascinating stuff. This is fascinating. Drama, lots of it. You can take that section and you can process it. But the section is one thing, and the process is Technique 80. And again, we use motivators, overts, deads, so on. Or we can take a thought people section. There's long stretches on the track where one has been part of a thought people. They had nothing much to do with mast. Very little to do with the material universe. They sort of floated across the tops of the daisies and made pretty pictures. They have enormous codes of the codes of operation. Because you see, if everybody was a perfectly free theta body, why, you had to use some method of controlling them if you had no electronics to control them with, so you'd invent morals. It is immoral too. Well, morals in that line were mostly superstition. They said, now, for instance, the way to do so-and-so is to so-and-so and so-and-so. Make some big, complicated process. You know? You'll find people every once in a while will come up and they say, but of course, in order to leave one's body, it is necessary to lie down, count to 10, sneeze twice, turn over once. It's a big process. It's something you have to be taught very carefully, and you have to observe all the rules. And if you go away from your body, and if you don't do so-and-so, why, then when you get away from your body, you won't be able to come back to it. If you do come back, not all of you will get back to it, and it's very dangerous. That's all under moral codes. That's something like don't spit on streetcars. So here's the thought people. They're operating perfectly happily. They have this heavily moralized society. They get together. They're the elders and so forth. For instance, you will not transmit telepathically between the hours of. Very amusing, but you'll get a free clear. You'll get a free clear occasionally. Occasionally you get a free clear who is just convinced that this section of the track is the only section of the track there is, you see? And they insist on processing this area. And then you'll get somebody who wants to process nothing but invader sequences. That's another type of activity. Here's the thought people, all of a sudden they're hit by an electronics people. Actually, people are people. You're the people, whether you were the thought people or the electronics people, you were the people. So that some of you are following along an electronics line and you landed on this planet and it was a thought planet. All they knew what to do with was just thought. And of course, you as an electronics person became very baffled because every time you started to lay down the law, post an order which says, martial law has now been declared for this area, the order burn. And they get tired of chasing around trying to find out who killed poor old Joe last night on guard duty. They get sick of this sort of thing, so they finally, the invader starts gunning down thought people just at random. Then he starts setting up various kinds of traps. And he does all sorts of things in order to control this area. And he has a bad time doing it, and the thought people will eventually succumb. So you have this person who is doing all of these. You must understand in processing pre-clears, Technique A tells you that 9 times out of 10, they'll go over onto what was done to them rather than what they did. So to hear them, you think these poor thought people were awfully abused and downtrodden and all shot to pieces and electronified and electrified and pegged and categorized and jailed and trapped and just hunted down like lice and... Yeah. You find out what they did to the electronics people. Those are overt acts, and they make very interesting telling. Then you'll get somebody who, for instance, was a thought person. He was a thought, belonged to the... These are just two categories of people, by the way. They just tell you that the electronics people usually happen to be an evolutionary line which is on heavy gravity planets, and so they develop electronics. And thought people are on light gravity planets, and so they don't develop anything along electronics. Electronics, whether it's thought or otherwise, it just makes two classifications of people because you find they battle. And you'll see this fight going on right now in modern engineering. You go around to a modern engineering laboratory and you say to these people, now you take the human mind. They say, you take it. They don't like it. You'll find thought people who go around, and you go around to them, and you say, hey, here's this electronics gadget, and they say, what? They don't want anything to do with this. The same person at some phase of his development was a thought person, and at some other phase was an electronics person. But what he has in re-stimulation in this life is his thought phase, or his electronic phase, and so he will react reversely to thought or electronics. It just as the Roman Empire set up the blues and the greens as the circus teams that fought with each other, so has randomity appeared in the past, thought and electronics. So you'll find this young thought person has been grabbed off as an interpreter, and he's riding around with the invaders, and actually his race was kind of killed off, that is to say they were given bodies and various things. And so... the invaders riding around and attacking planets and so forth. And here's this puckish thought person who's been drafted in as an auxiliary and maybe as a young fellow. And boy, has he been abused by these electronics people. He's practically a slave to hear him tell it until you find out that his favorite method of amusement was sitting in the mess table in the wardroom and making the captain's teeth fall out. He'd sit there, you see, and every time the executive officer would start to spoon up soup, the soup would fly up and hit him in the face. And then this thought person was sitting there very innocently. You can see how some race possessed of unlimited weapons could consider itself very tolerant and very benign up to a certain limit. After it had just so much soup in its face, it would start to use almost unlimited weapons and start gunning down the thought people. Of course, it's very easy to gun down thought people. You set up traps of various sorts, and gradually, why, you can pick them up and give them all bodies and set them to building walls or something. And so you can process that phase of the track, but don't forget, when you're processing some phase of the track, process it with Technique 80. Technique 80 doesn't change. Technique 80, you could probably process the main body of theta with it. anything that's to be processed, use 80. Now, way back along the line, you'll find various strange and terrible things happening to people. And don't overlook the fact that they did strange and terrible things. Now, here's the first point of confusion in these techniques, is who is they? Now, you've got it straight that technique 88 applies to processing a theta body, not processing a mess body. It's a very specialized technique. It processes a theta body. A theta body is located in a certain way geographically with relationship to mess bodies and is capable of many other things than mess bodies are capable of. And it's a very, very special method of processing because it's a special entity, an article. And you will learn more and more about it the more you process it. Because it's there, it's accessible, it's easy to process, and this material's there to be learned. Well, that's 88, the processing of this theta body, this aura, this shell, whatever you want to call it, that goes around mess bodies. So that's 88, and that's highly specialized. Get the definition in there several times. Now, back here on track, who was they? That's another point of confusion. Who was they? You! I want to answer this several times. The villain in the piece was you. The hero in the piece was you. The people who were on neither side, that was you too. In other words, you want to know who did it to you? Well, you did. Don't try to find any goats. So don't get upset about this they proposition. Nobody did it to you but you. There is no race, no peculiar, strange, or fantastic race which is different. There are 5 invader forces active and 1 aborning. 1 aborning, that is to say there are 6 total invader forces, but the 1 aborning is not active at all. It is really in its infancy. It will probably be several million years before you even see this one begin to lift its head very far. Counting from the first time most of you hit the track, about 60 trillion years ago in the mess universe, some of you hit the track 60 trillion years ago, mess universe, some of you didn't get into the mess universe until about 3 trillion years ago. That's invader force 1, invader force 2. Now, you're pretty clear. All I'm telling you here when I'm telling you these things is e-meter data confirmed from pre-clear to pre-clear, variable, pre-clear to pre-clear, one after the other, read on the e-meter, the incidents are there, the incident gets processed, and the people get better. Now, that's what I'm telling you about. I'm not telling you romance. As a matter of fact, if I were to romance this thing, I could make it much, much, much the same as it is. Now, therefore, you have Invader Force 1. They're really old-timers. They've been on track for an awful long time. The reason you say Invader Force at all is because at some time along the line, fairly early in its youth, it took off to conquer the whole mess universe. Gobble glop. And you succeeded, of course, until Invader Force 2 came along and you got rickety. And by that time, you probably evolved into this and that, or changed into thought people, or taken up religion, or gone into monasteries, or something of the sort because of overt acts. You become a thought people, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, and without any provocation from you, of course, Invader Force 2 suddenly showed up, gunned you down, manhandled you, kicked you over, put you into bodies, made slaves out of you who had been emperors and kings. Now, we don't see anything of Invader Force 3 here on Earth. That's because they're holding the fort pretty well here and there. They have never been shot down here that I know of. As far as Invader Force 4, I just haven't found any 3s. As far as Invader Force 4 is concerned, it's really holding the fort someplace or other. Mind you, these people come in one way or the other in the planets and they just take over, that's all. It would not be very surprising for people to suddenly land here on Earth and take it over. Bang. And don't think people don't know this. You know that Orson Welles put an invasion from Mars broadcast on and people panicked and practically died in their tracks in all directions. What panic? There wasn't anything else you could have put on. Why did they panic that way? Well, it had happened so often. It certainly was re-stimulative. And they put this same broadcast on down in South America, and I think they tore apart a $10 million radio broadcast building, tore it to ribbons, and killed, I think, 17 people. The riot was so fantastic. People were so frightened. They went tearing around and tore everything up. On what? The Spanish translation of Orson Welles' Invasion of Mars. As a matter of fact, this is ordinary. It doesn't happen very many million, very frequently, every little while, a few million years. Some planet will get taken over in this fashion by an invader force. Usually it's been fairly spectacular. Fellows land, they've got on fishbowl-type helmets, or they look in some fashion or other. They've got equipment of various lines. And mind you, theta bodies don't care what kind of mess bodies they're picking up, sporting, and carrying around. So you could expect almost anything in terms of physical form, particularly physical form which matched up the peculiar purpose of this group. And so they'd land, and all of a sudden here'd be the Aborigines, that is, some decayed or race that had sort of forgotten what the score was, or somebody who had, with some relief, gotten off to the edge. With some relief, had gotten off to the edge of the line. And so you've got a sudden turbulence. Invader force lands, crush. They say, "Hey, you." And the possibly one of you does, "Yes, kind of scared. You see a big shiny thing out there, and it's a little bit restimulative. You wonder what it is and where it's from, and these things don't look like any being you've ever seen before. For the last few lives, you've handily forgotten your earlier past. They maybe look like our Slykens to you or something of the sort." And you say, "Yes, sir, yes, sir." And they say, "How far is it to the next town, bud?" or something like that. And, you know, just like supposing a flock of troops came in here, Russian troops or something of the sort, and they came around. And at first, there's no real thought of fighting them, and then they've usually got some gimmick like back one. Now, if they're an experienced invader force, they've got it all rigged. They've got it all rigged. It'll run off by rote. They'll pick up these people one after the other, and they'll say, "Well, you've got to come over here and register." And of course, the fellow walks over, registers, the light flashes, the guy's past life, everything about him goes out. He remembers no more. Sometimes this fellow will turn around and walk back to his own group and say, "Nothing happened." And the next guy walks up to register. He walked back to his group, nothing happened. Or they'll come in and they'll sell all the aristocracy in the area. The aristocracy in the area, the idea that this is the way you can really control these people. Now we're going to put weapons of control in your hands. Now just step right up, sign here. Next one. They get the aristocracy under complete control and control the people from there. In other words, control has been the main thing. How do you control territory? The way you control territory is control people. Then you, as a thought person, suddenly made into a slave, would cruise along for a while, and one day you'd be sitting in this society and somebody get this wonderful idea that this is the way you ought to put electrons together so they go boom, or so they fly out the tail end of a jet, or so that they form up anti-gravity repulsors or something. Somebody gets a big idea about electronics, and there you go. And you're off away and out into space and zingity-bang and over to the next planet or the next continent even. And you gun them down and you set up the same sort of situations out of desperation. Because the second you start to run into a thought people who don't have any mess bodies, you say this is very unhandy, and you make sure they have mess bodies right soon. So you've been in and out of bodies, you've been thought people, you've been this, you've been that. You've been sheep, goats, spacemen, space officers. You've been governors, kings, princes, ditch diggers, slaves, glazers, carpenters, bricklayers, amusement park barkers, operators. You have turned planets into parks and parks into cinders. You, one time or another on a track, have had weapons in your hands of sufficient magnitude to just say boom and the whole planet goes. And sometimes you didn't care whether you used it or not. Interesting. We talk about drama. Well, don't be amazed anything your preclear comes up with. Because as you take that individual track map and plot it up for a preclear, get those time bops and plot those incidents in, you'll find out that there's a similarity on the track. And you'll find out that there are various peoples as a part of Invader Force One and Invader Force Two, which you represent. Now, there are various peoples, and these incidents occurred more or less at the same time. For instance, FAC One is in the vicinity of 1 million years. FAC One's called FAC One because it was discovered one. And then because it's a good one for an auditor starting auditing, if he's going to audit mess bodies. Nothing to it. It's a misnomer. It really should be called FAC 1 million, because that's about its date. You'll find that incident after incident, pretty clear whether they're in communication with each other or not. You put them on an E-meter, and each one gets the same similar incidents in the same time area. They go through the same cycle. Very fascinating. Now, so don't get confused, and don't let your pre-clear get confused about what he's been. Don't let him get confused about they. They is him. I'm telling you this one because you're going to find pre-clear so frantically worried occasionally, so frantically worried about there still being in existence such things as monitors, such things as the basic electronic people that inhabited or invented this mess universe, and so on. They'll say, gee, I don't dare tell you this because I wonder if you were one of them. They might be around. They still might be drifting by your left ear or something. You can quiet them down simply by telling them, all right, you were they. Let's not worry about that. They have good reason to be worried about this. You just ask them this question once in a while just to reassure them. What would you think about you if you could suddenly become invisible, detach yourself, and bust up anything you wanted to at will? Supposing you were able to suddenly move out and hit anybody you wanted to. Just bap. It's out of nowhere. This person gets slapped. Supposing you were able to do that, would you be rather careful about you? Would you be rather spooked about you if you were somebody else? The guy has a tendency to say, I'd be afraid of me, all right. Well, you say, there's they. Actually, there are two kinds of theta clears. You see, theta clear would mean clear of a mess body, or clear to the necessity to have a mess body. That would be your basic definition of a theta clear. Clear of a need to have a body. Your next level is a clear theta clear, whereby all of a person's engrams have been turned into conceptual experience. He's clear all the way along the track. He can really deliver the horsepower and the whip crack without much trouble. Two different beings. Now, in that, it is confusing to some degree, speaking of confusion, to process one's theta body while a mess body is still injected into him. In that, this is a little bit puzzling. Probably the first level of concentration should not be on a full clear of the track, but the concentration should be merely on clearing up those things make it necessary to have a mess body. And of course, you can go on process without having a mess body inside of you interfering with you. Now, don't think that you have to have a mess body in order to run engrams. You don't. And your mess body rather gets in your road. Now, this is the next point of confusion I'd like to cover with you, which is the body. What body are you trying to process? Well, there's a lot of somatics you've run into on the track which just didn't reduce worth a nickel. Where were they? What were they? And so forth. The basic confusion of Homo sapiens is, who am I? Everywhere you go, you've been asking this one question: who are you? And a fellow will give you his name until he realizes you're serious. And they'll start puzzling over it. And then he'll start telling you, well, I don't like such people because they won't let me be myself. And you say, who are you? What do you mean by yourself? You mean your flesh and blood? Well, it's very peculiar, you say, because if you lost an arm, you can go down to Veterans Hospital and find fellows who have lost limbs and so forth. And they don't consider themselves any less them because they've lost a limb. So they're... identity didn't seem to be too dependent upon the flesh. Well, what is this? Who are you? what can you do and what do you don't, and so on. Now, if you have a basic confusion on identity, of course, it's an identification, and it's very basic, and so it would be very aberrating. What is number one aberration, then, for this race? It's who am I, but there's a very specific who am I about it. The reason you could never really admit that your messed body was you is because it isn't. And therefore you get confused. You say, who am I? And you look in a mirror and it doesn't seem quite right to you. It isn't right. You are your theta body. But as long as you have these things held so tightly, one to the other, you consider that you are somehow inside a messed body and that you are the messed body. Now that's a basic confusion. You add to this confusion by identifying everybody you see by their messed body. And so you compound the felony. You keep saying to people, that is Jones, he has green hair. That is Smith, he always wears a plaid suit. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. In other words, you identify the individuality by the messed body. And you can process this on any pre-clear and start to get yawns off of it. Because he knows basically it isn't true. Then, he is identified as a name applied to his messed body. Now, his identification of people by looking for their looks, their appearances, their messed body, and his identification as a being, as a messed body, identifying him as a messed body, as a finite name, this lifetime, and so forth, is also a confusion line. In addition to this, you have a whole society which is propitiating the messed bodies they have hurt, harmed, seized, mauled, mangled, and shot to pieces by doing nothing, practically, but taking care of a messed body. Work it, feed it, work it, feed it, make it sleep, don't let it rest it, clothe it, so on. It's care that a mother is actually, if you don't want to know what mother care is, you just start running this stuff on yourself and you'll find how you hover over and take care of and protect this messed body. And you know, a little child which is carefully protected by mama is seldom very healthy. And so it is. If you cannot abandon yourself just to use this messed body, you don't find the messed body very healthy. You're too busy hovering over it and taking care of it and patting it into line and making sure that it has rubbers on and making sure it doesn't go out in the cold and making sure that it doesn't get hungry and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you have every advertisement you see practically is telling you, take care of the messed body. Now, the only liability that you have is the food, clothing, and shelter of the messed body and its police liability. It can work, but it can be identified by police. Therefore, your activities are limited to this degree. And your also activities are limited because it is a carbon oxygen engine which has a tendency to run out of fuel every so many hours. And you have an economic system which is set up to make it necessary for you to earn so many dollars in order to accomplish so many calories of food to feed the messed body, to keep it going so that it can work, so that it can earn so many dollars to get so much food to keep the messed body going for it. Then they set it up so that you can't shortcut it. You're not supposed to walk into any bank, pull out a gun, shoot down a couple of guards, and pick up $1 million. It's passe. I mean, they used to do this here in the West, but they don't do it now. Not as frequently. And you're not supposed to do that. And the best guarantee that you won't do that is the fact that your messed body has a distinguishing characteristic fingerprint. It is so high, it's so wide, it has certain coloration, and it can be put in the clink, and you don't know how to pull yourself off of it and leave. So therefore, police control becomes possible where a messed body is. Economic control becomes possible only where messed bodies are. Something for you to think about. But all of these things form together to make a process which, all by itself, if I didn't tell you anything about theta bodies, but I just designed this process to process out of you one way or the other messed body care. People insisting you take care of your messed body, you insisting that they take care of their messed body. People identifying you as your messed body, you identifying people as their messed body. It would look very mysterious to people because they would come up the tone scale faster on that than they would on any other straight wire. Identification, identification. Just process that out up along the line, and you could take a freak who didn't know anything about meth bodies or theta bodies, and you give this design therapy to him, and he'd get well. That's very peculiar, because it's sitting on a hidden truth for him. But it wouldn't matter if the truth was hidden, he'd get well. That's the test of any one of these things. You want to try that, just a straight wire. When's the last time you identified somebody by seeing what they look like? My fellow said, oh, all the time. I mean, of course. Well, just get back the first time it struck you as odd that you would do that. Never did. Oh, wait a minute. I remember thinking about it when I was 5. Now, this makes a process. But if you have been addicted to, pushed into, held in, mauled in, convinced that you must have a mess body for generations and generations and generations and generations and generations, you, of course, consider yourself your mess body. And somebody says you are something else, you try to locate that something else, you're going to have a hard time doing so. You say, I don't know. And if you didn't have some of the behavior of a theta body, and if you didn't process by whole tract, the probability is you'd never, most of you, ever locate your theta body. You just weren't arguing. It takes incidents in the past to show them up. Now, the sequence of how you come into possession of a mess body and why you took over a mess body resolves your having a mess body and suddenly brings you out into your own identity. But can you imagine, if you ever see anybody who was actually insane on the subject of taking care of something? Let's say that somebody's got a keepsake, and every time you tried to touch this keepsake or do anything to this keepsake or remove this keepsake in any way, they would practically spin. They would spend all their time taking care of this and so on. How about a mother? Have you ever seen a mother obsessed with the care of a child? The child grows and gets to be a man, and mother is still taking care of it. Obsession, obsession. No freedom of action for this person at all. She keeps taking care of that child till she goes to her grave. She's obsessed with the idea of it. Now, she lives in the child. She lives for the child. The child's goals and ambitions, which are hers, implanted into the child usually, when they're attained for her. This is her life. She has sublimated her own existence into the existence of her child. Have you seen this? All right. You've got the same situation with regard to you and a mess body, only its intensity is about 50 to 100 times greater. It's way up there in intensity. The first intimacy, the initial shocks whereby you started mopping up, combing up, kicking in the teeth and throwing away messed bodies, started to mount up on you and mount up on you, and finally you started to protect them. You've got this same cycle of overt act sympathy and then protection. You can see this operating. It's covered in A, P, and A. You can see this operating all through human behavior. We'll have to take up love in connection with that. But this cycle, which I will go over tonight, this cycle takes place and finds you sacrificing everything for this mess body. And why do your past lives disappear? The grief is too great on the loss of this intimate thing. We got into a psychotic lineup. That's actually what it is. It's a psychosis. The way people safeguard each other and so forth. The way they safeguard themselves, the way they take care of themselves, their complete inability to go into any kind of an abandoned action, a clear, swinging action, should demonstrate to you this. You'll suddenly find an actual other dynamic relationship. The first dynamic is not to the mess body. Dynamic one is to the theta body. The theta body concerned with the theta body is dynamic one. Apparently, dynamic one is the theta body's concern for the mess body. When you say somebody, he's all on the first dynamic, he's number one. He's taking care of himself. He's getting things. He's actually getting things for this mess body. He's doing things for this mess body. He wants this mess body to get ahead. He this, that, and so on. It's his own mess body, you see. But he is actually doing something for another object than himself. And he can get pretty psycho. He can get very protective on this line. oh, he can really go at a long distance from there, and you think this is the first dynamic. No, it's not. First dynamic is not that. You're looking at actually a group action. Have you ever seen a family where somebody would just fight at the drop of a hat if anybody insulted his sister, his brother, or something like that? Well, you're getting that kind of a protective relationship of the theta body, the individual, towards this thing called the mess fire. Now, somebody comes along and he challenges this. He says, hey, look, this isn't true. Oh, no, it is. It is. And you know, it takes, you have to process 3-4 incidents before he gets over it. All of a sudden he says, what? But there it is, plain as can be. But in order to get there, he'll go through a period of confusion. And the main confusion is every time he tries to run out of somatic on some old mess body he has, he's got a mess body sitting right there inside the field where he's trying to run the somatic. And this is kind of rough. So he begins to think that he's running the somatics out of the mess body. When he's running whole track, he thinks he's running his own track. Until he's shown how and why and what's happening with regard to it. You can get him over that area of the confusion by demonstrating to him tactile, exterior to his body. Tactile, stronger, plainer than he has ever experienced in running on the track in his mess body. You show him that a foot or two from him. Something is happening. And then you get him when he has done a blanket, which is the term for throwing yourself over a mess body, where he's blanketing a couple or something like that. He obviously has two mess bodies there. And he knows this, he senses it, and all of a sudden has his shape and general characteristics. Then you have to resolve his emotional attachment for mess bodies. The emotional attachment for the earliest mess bodies on the line. And after that, he begins to loosen up and free up. You don't care whether this fellow walks off, and this is not a goal of processing. You don't care whether he walks off and leaves this mess body or not. Nobody's trying to take anybody's mess body away. But you'd like to put him into a situation where he can take care of this mess body, where he'd at least be free to live it, or you, at least you want to be able to do it yourself. You can leave it or stay with it, keep it or not keep it. In other words, that's returning one's self-determinism, and then you could go on through life very happily. By the way, a theta body has great potentiality in reshaping a mess body. But as long as it is aberratively unaware of the fact that it is holding a mess body, it'll pull that mess body all out of shape using past facsimiles on it. It'll just haul it out of shape. It'll make it grow in the wrong direction and the wrong size and the wrong shape and malform its bone. Do everything to it you can think of. Warp it, twist it, all unwittingly because it's taking so good care of it. It's holding on, and the more the thing more things happen to it, the harder the theta body will hold on to it, and finally the fellow's in a horrible condition. He gets normal. Now, he's no longer free to shape himself or grow. But supposing you get him unconfused on this subject and bring him up the line to a point where he knows where the old facsimiles are and what these new facsimiles are, he can remold. And don't think that flesh won't remold. It'll remold rather rapidly. You get him over the first initial humps on the line, and a fellow can pretty well straighten up or change a lot of his physiology. He can do this. He can straighten himself up markedly, considerably. There's where you get the elasticity of the body. The body starts falling to pieces, and one fellow gets into an accident, and his body falls to pieces, he never gets over it. Another fellow gets into an accident and just goes all to pieces and so forth, and all of a sudden heals up. Boom. Seems to be as good as new. Terrific variabilities. It is the capability and awareness of the theta body in taking care of mess bodies, and that's what you're finding. As I talk to you about this, you go all the way back along the line, you hit a lot of invalidations. As your pre-clear hits these invalidation areas, these heavy force areas, which crush him in, smash him down, and so on, he just can't believe it. And you re-stimulate the unreality in your pre-clear. Well, you understand that you can, by bringing yourself as an individual well up the tone scale, by clearing up any confusion you have about your own case, about what you're doing,
that you can take Technique 80 and process any phase or facet of some other individual. You don't have to make Theta clear out of him. You can make him well. If you get yourself way up along the line, you realize nobody could re-stimulate you. Nobody could confuse you very much. Somebody threatens he's going to do so-and-so and so-and-so to you? Oh, nonsense. So what if he did? What would he hit? He just a mess body. About all he could hit. And if you were perfectly capable of putting mess bodies back into condition in a heck of a hurry, you could cure yourself up of things you'd never dreamed of curing yourself up before. So all I'm asking you to do as individuals is not process pre-clears up to that level particularly. Process yourself up to that level, and you'll be able to process pre-clears up to any level you choose, which seems to be rather important to me. Possibly a couple of hundred beta clears on the face of this earth today could handle this world the way it's never been manhandled before. And if they stuck to it to straighten things out, if they stuck together and they were fairly well agreed upon in their goals, that they're going to put this planet in pretty good condition, they could probably lay it out, segment it out, figure it out. Gee, things would get different. I wouldn't say they'd get calm. Now, you wonder, by the way, if a group of Theta Clears would hang together. And I very well think they would. In the very complex process involved here, then, doesn't look very complex to you the first moment you start running into it, and it starts proving up. You'll find your pre-clear going over a bridge of confusion. What he's basically confusion is, however, is first, where is he? What is he? And then eventually you get a somatic, and this somatic will be different than what he thinks it ought to be. And then he'll have an awful time running this somatic because he's got a mess body in the place where the old mess body was. And after he's run this, and it's emotional cycle, two or three times hour, it unconfuses, and he more or less goes across the bridge. But you can expect to have anybody you try to process through that, or expect when you go through it yourself, to find your mess body very much in the road of your old mess body facsimiles that are inside the theta body. And they'll get in the road, and you'll get all mixed up sometimes. And so on, but that's about the only mix-up there is. Once you get that thing straightened out, you have straightened out the basic neurosis possible in life, which is a confusion of identity. And you get that straightened out, and you have no longer any confusion of identity. And the second you have no confusion of identity, believe me, nobody can do anything to you, except turn some electronic guns on you again, get you re-aberrated into some sort of situation, or you going out and getting yourself fouled up beautifully and gorily by taking over this mess body and that mess body and the other mess body and getting stuck finally on one and saying, the dear sweet thing, I'll take care of it. All right. The confusions, then, are just those things which I've enumerated. The first is don't confuse these two processes. You can run Technique 80, you can run anything with Technique 80. Technique 88 is clearing the mess body out of the theta body. Technique 88 is the handling of the theta body, and it's the theta body line of technique. Now, if we had another method of application besides 80, which was applicable on the 88, we would use it. That would not alter 88. You understand that? It wouldn't alter 88, because all 88 is the knowledge and know-how necessary to clear a theta body. You've got to have the data. 88 is the data. Where's it been? What's it done? Now, understand there's a terrific amount of technology involved in this sort of thing. I stand up here and I tell you very fast and very glib that I'm not telling you that this is hard to know. It isn't hard to know, but believe me, it's pretty hard to find out. I stand up here very glibly and I tell you the theta body is on the outside. How long do you think it takes to find that out? How long do you think it took to develop some kind of a technique whereby you could demonstrate it to somebody so you get unconfused? And how long do you think it took to go through the walls of confusion, which I'm telling you about right now, and fight them through completely blind? It took quite a while. But I'm telling you right where the confusions are now. The next confusion line is the person trying to run a theta body. He's trying to run a theta body holding some old mess body. He is his theta body. You're trying to process this old mess body thing, and you get it confused with your own body. The next thing you know, you think you're processing this body in present time with big somatics, only that isn't where it is. It's past. And you've got to get him to a point where he's differentiating between this body and the body he's actually, it's long gone. He's processing his facsimile. And when you get to a state where that is very easy to do, and by the way, that isn't hard to do, you all of a sudden, you feel this body kind of evaporate. Your concentration level is very high on your present mess body. You see, you're very aware of it. It's something like having a sliver in your finger. You're very aware of it. And so you'll eventually get to the point where you sort of can feel no substance for this body. And you feel the old body. That's when your facsimiles are really running well and running smoothly. You're running some sort of let's say you can feel the arm of the old body, and the facsimile is so arranged that the arm of the old body actually penetrates through this body. Well, you don't feel this body at all. You just feel the arm of the old body. You get the idea. You just get the shape, size, and characteristics of the old body disentangled from this body. Well, the old facsimile is in the past, and this body is in the present. So actually what you're doing is separating past and present, and your awareness of time markedly increases. The next thing that there's any confusion on at all is simply your desire, why you did it, so on. And a person, I can tell you by rote why you did, but you will have to run it in order to be convinced, because it's pretty powerful, it's pretty strong. It's just the magnitude of emotion on the incident, that's all. It isn't that you have to cry or anything else. These emotions run very easily. Very little confusion possible. Truth be known. Those are the points of confusion. And the other one is, don't let anybody get into this basis. They. Because you can process somebody and process him on motivators, 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 what it was done to him, what it was done to him in the mess universe, what was done to him in the mess universe. And he gets the idea finally that there wasn't anything all the way through the mess universe but a bunch of villains who had nothing as their goal except his banishment, punishment, and kicking him in the teeth. And this is not true. He sure did his share. So don't anybody get confused about that. The second you start to get anybody confused about that, you have a point where you know that you're not running 80 correctly. That is to say, you're not running enough overt acts or enough dead. It tells you immediately that this person has done far more overt acts than he has motivators to account for them. The second he starts that line with you, so you just run overt and dead. Pay attention then to this fact. Are you all unbalanced? Do you keep on running on this pretty clear things that have happened to him? Or do you salt it off and make it better on things happening, what he's done to others? Take a break.